This is a Triple J podcast.
I think getting married because other people think that you should or you think that you should aren't great reasons.
Hello, Dee Salmon here for the Hookup Podcast. And I don't know about you, but my feed, I mean, it's probably just the algorithm, but it is full of engagement announcements, people's weddings. There's been so many pop celebrities this year, like Lana Del Rey and Charlie XCX getting married, and of course, Dua Lipa and Taylor Swift getting engaged. And this was something that we spoke about, Pip and I, in our latest episode, if you haven't already listened, because we know that marriage is steadily on the decline in general, right? But there seems to be a lot more young people who are keen to get married, to walk down the aisle, to wed, to tie the knot. So I thought it would be great to chat to someone who can help you if this is something that you're struggling with making a decision around. Like, do you want to get engaged? Do you want to get married? Is this something on the cards for you in the future? And if you do, or potentially if your partner does, what are the important conversations that you should be having together before you make that decision and before you sign that piece of paper? So in this episode, you are going to hear from relationship counselor, couples therapist, and sexologist Isaiah McKimmy. And yeah, we are going to chat about the important things that you should be thinking about, whether there's a right or wrong reason to get married, what kind of conversations you should be having together, and whether or not there's such a thing as a right time to get married. So let's get into it. Isaiah, thank you so much for coming on The Hookup.
Thank you so much, Dee.
So we did, like I mentioned, we did a whole episode recently on how, yes, marriage rates are slowly on the decline, but in young people in particular, research shows that they're in more favor of marriage than young adults 20 years ago, with almost 2/3 of them believing that marriage is still an important institution. And when we put this up on our Instagram at Triple J The Hookup, 50% of our listeners said that, yes, they wanted to get married. I'm so keen to chat to you about this today. I find it so fascinating. Firstly, though, why do you think getting engaged and getting married is becoming more popular?
You know, this was somewhat surprising to me because I kind of lived through that dip in people seemingly not wanting to get married and not seeing it as important. And I think one of the things that might actually have changed this is the legalization of same-sex marriage back in the teens, because there was a really a period of time where it was really seen as like a heteronormative kind of idea that wasn't available to a really large portion of the population. And with same-sex marriage now being legalized in Australia, in the UK, in the US, it really makes it available, obviously, to anyone who would want that in whatever form. And I think we're also realizing that marriage doesn't need to be the way that we might have seen it been in previous generations, especially when it comes to those kind of gender norms that have held women in particular back. And I'm seeing a lot of people realize that they can actually change what marriage means to them, change the way that they create their relationship, and really redefining it in a way that works for them rather than throwing out the idea altogether.
Yeah, when we spoke to our listeners, we asked them, you know, what are these reasons? Like, why do you want to get married? Why is it so important to you? And people said things like it was part of their cultural or religious background. It was a way to show their friends and family that they're committing to this person and that they love this person. What are some of the reasons that, you know, you speak to couples about and the reasons they want to get married?
Yeah, I definitely hear those reasons as well. It being a real sign of love and commitment in a way that just living together, you know, which a lot of couples do, doesn't kind of show. It's really a symbol to the external world that they want to spend the rest of their lives together. I do sometimes hear people, you know, getting married or who have been married and have said, well, it felt like just the next step to take, like what we were supposed to do next after we had done all of the other things. And, you know, there was kind of this sense of obligation, like my partner wanted to, and I couldn't really think of a reason why not. And so I don't really recommend that, but I know that it does still happen for people.
Yeah, I'm super keen to chat about that because I feel like you know, just in my friendship groups, I'm in that age bracket now where people are starting to get engaged and get married. And it seems to be a little bit from social pressure, right? It's like you see all the people around you starting to get engaged and then you're like, oh, this is, you know, people will say like, well, I've been with my partner for 10 years. So, you know, why are these people who are together for 2 years getting engaged? Like maybe that's something that I should be doing. How do you feel about that pressure, whether it's like socially or maybe from your family and the impact that that can play?
That's really hard. Like it is hard to see everyone else doing something. And marriage does have such a place in our society and culture. And there are really few ways that we often get to celebrate ourselves and bring everyone that we love together and, you know, and be that kind of center of attention and, you know, have everyone we love together. And marriage is one of the ways we do that. Children are one of the ways that we do that as well. And so when we don't have that, or when we're not sure if we'll get to have that, that can really impact us. And we can feel like we're missing out on something or being left out. And if that pressure is coming from our family, it's so much harder to deal with because, of course, we want to, you know, all of us in some ways usually still want to please our family and, you know, and keep them happy as well.
Yeah, we'll get some advice on how to navigate that because, yeah, I think that's like a lot of, you know, parents desperate for a grandchild and that kind of thing. Do you think that there are right and wrong reasons to get married and how would you define them?
That's a good question. Look, I do. I think we should get married because we want to spend the rest of our life with someone and we feel really ready to commit to that and announce that to the world. I think getting married because other people think that you should, or you think that you should, or that your partner's saying you should, aren't great reasons and might not lead to longevity. I know that for some people there's always going to be outliers around that. But often that is going to lead to conflict and tension or the relationship never quite being what you want it to be down the line. Also getting married because you think that it will make the relationship better is probably not the right reason. A little bit of the same with having kids. It is not going to make a relationship stronger, make the relationship stronger and then get married or then choose to have kids, not the other way around.
Yeah, I know a couple who bought a house together, got engaged, got married and then 3 months later got divorced. And I think a part of that was that they thought that all of these steps would make their relationship better, or it was a bit around what you're supposed to do. And then after it happened, it was like, well, things haven't changed at all.
Absolutely. I see a lot of couples in the lead up to their wedding and also in that first year after marriage where they've kind of realized that these challenges that they've been having haven't just gone away, or that they've been able to kind of ignore them, you know, and they've just gone about life. And then suddenly they're wedding planning, they're thinking about their future, there's that added stress and all of that has come up to the surface to be dealt with. So I can say from my position as a couples therapist that often what looks like a beautiful relationship on the outside, especially when people are getting married, actually has a lot more challenges going on under the surface. I mean, I've even supported couples with infidelity right up in the months before their wedding. So I think it's a reminder to all of us as well that just because someone has the, you know, the perfect Instagram wedding doesn't mean that the relationship is perfect and is necessarily going to last.
Yeah, there's definitely been, I think, a few quite prominent content creators in Australia who have spoken out about that recently, who had, you know, really big, lavish social media weddings. And then, you know, a couple months later or that year, they ended up getting divorced and splitting up. And now they're talking about how they felt that pressure and kind of got swept up in the excitement of it all. Well, I think that's a great way to chat about, you know, what the crux of this episode is going to be about, getting some advice around what are some of the important things you should be thinking about and the questions you should be asking yourself and your partner. And, you know, I think people can get married for all sorts of reasons, but I think we should focus on the you love this person and you want to spend the rest of your life with them. So, Isaiah, what are some important things that you think people should think about before they get engaged?
There's a lot to this, Dee. Primarily, what does marriage mean to you? Why are you wanting to get married? I think it's really important for anyone to reflect on those questions. What does it mean to you, and why this person? And are you really ready? Is now the right time? I think there are also, if you decide that, yes, it is this person, or I do want to get married, there are important questions to ask yourself about, do I really feel safe with this person? Do I feel like my needs and my concerns and my hurts get listened to and addressed within the relationship? Because if they're getting swept under the rug now, that isn't going to get better once a couple gets married. And I think what goes with that is do I love this person and do I want to be with them as they are right now? Or am I still hoping that they will change? Am I hoping that once we get married, somehow then I'll have more leverage for them to change a little bit? Like, am I really marrying the potential of them as well? And, you know, and are they going to be there for me when times get tough? Do we think that we can navigate this hard, wild ride of life together, even if we don't always see eye to eye on things?
I love that. I think there's been moments in my life where I've had partners where I thought that, and then, you know, something quite huge has happened and traumatic, and then they weren't really around, and it really puts things into perspective, because it's like, well, that's what life will be, you know, if it isn't going to be the ups and downs and people get sick and things happen and you move away, and there's always going to be highs and lows. You mentioned a few things that you should be thinking about yourself and questions you should be kind of meditating on. What questions should you be asking your partner?
I think this is a really interesting one, because I'm actually hoping that couples have had a lot of these conversations before it actually gets to the point where they're thinking about marriage. So we know that for couples, the most successful couples are not the couples that agree on everything, and they're not the couples that never fight or argue about anything. They're couples that can have differences of opinions and really listen to each other. They're couples that can have disagreements and manage that conflict well, where they're really hearing each other's perspective, taking on board what the other person is saying, and then being willing to be flexible based on what their partner is sharing. So I am always more interested in not what couples are arguing about, but how they're arguing, as a pointer to the longevity of their relationships. And again, I want to know that couples have had these conversations, and sometimes the really difficult, tough conversations early on in their relationship, and with intention, rather than trying to figure everything out, you know, right as they're about to get married. That already tells me that something has been missed in their communication earlier on.
What should couples make sure that they're aligned on? Because I think, you know, sometimes you see, yes, the 2 years together, they're engaged, they're getting married, they might be quite young, they're excited, but then maybe they haven't had, like you said, those important conversations around the future. And it's like, what about, you know, career and priorities, and what if, like, you have a certain lifestyle you want, or a dream, you want to live somewhere else and they don't want to live there, or you want to have kids in a certain amount of years but they don't want that, or like, what conversation should you be having to make sure you are on the same page?
I think all of those conversations are helpful. I would like to see couples, though, look deeper to what are our values as human beings, what do we have in common around that, and in general, what are our goals for life? Like, what is really important to us in terms of how we want to live? I think some of those things around, here's what I want for my career, or here's where I want to live, or this is the lifestyle I want to have, or it's this many kids, or it's no kids, all of that can and will change for some of us throughout our lives. And again, it's how couples are able to talk about that together. I never want these conversations between couples, particularly before their wedding, to be about, well, we agreed on this, like, we agreed we weren't having children. And it's like, well, that's where you both were at the time, but what if one of you changes your mind about that? What if one of you even changes your mind about whether or not you want a monogamous relationship? Does the relationship have the capacity to actually open that conversation between you so that you can work together?
Do you think then it's important for people to think about their non-negotiables? Because you might have the conversation and you might say, yes, we're both on board for having kids, but then fast forward 5 years, like you said, so much can change. Someone changes their mind, but then one person might feel like, well, I've now not wasted 5 years, but it can be a really make or break decision for a relationship. So, yeah, do you think it's worth coming together and talking about like this is an absolute must for my future?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, what we know about ourselves right now. And again, that's okay if it changes for you, but right now, absolutely, if it's a non-negotiable for someone to say, you know what, I do want to know that kids are in their future. And then if their partner, and I've supported a couple through this recently, if their partner is saying, do you know what, I like that idea, but I actually don't know if I'll ever get there. It's a matter of, well, can I live with that uncertainty? Because if my partner can't guarantee they'll change something, then can I live with that uncertainty? Are we going to be able to find a way to work together? But I agree with you. I think finding out what are my non-negotiables right now? What are my core values? What are my core needs? And really importantly, when my partner and I are discussing this, are we able to listen to each other? Is my partner able to take on my perspective? Am I willing to take on theirs and show them that respect and flexibility? If couples have that empathic, flexible conversation together, they're going to be in a much better position to deal with any changes that come up. But yes, having some of those important conversations, kids, lifestyle, where you want to live, how important your career is, who will take what roles potentially are all important to have and to have some kind of understanding of before you start stepping into huge commitments.
What about financial conversations? What are some important things to talk about when it comes to money?
This is such a big one for couples because obviously we know, along with sex and children, it's some of the biggest issues that couples argue around. I think having conversations about money is the first step because there are so many different ways that couples find to make finances work between them. Shared accounts, shared expense accounts, separate accounts, binding financial agreements, what to do. We're often coming to relationships a little bit later than we used to, and with assets and children already set up. So, what happens to the assets we already have? What happens when we're creating something together? What happens if something changes in terms of one partner stepping out of the workforce, the paid workforce, in order to take care of children? What does that then do, to the arrangement? So, for me, again, it's not what couples decide on here. It's that they are willing to have these conversations and that they're willing to listen to each other and that they are also then willing to change those agreements as the circumstances change, if they need to.
You mentioned important conversations about sex. What are some things that people might want to consider chatting about? Like you said, maybe you might change your mind on monogamy.
Yeah. And again, I hope that couples have already had so many of these conversations before they've got to this point. There are often the questions of like, when is the right time to have these conversations? When's the right time to talk about what we are and what we want? And is it too early to ask my partner about what they like sexually or what they might want to explore? Obviously, there's a point where that might be uncomfortable. We're not asking all of these questions on a first date, but the earlier we can start to open up these conversations, the better the relationship is going to be set up. So it isn't necessarily coming as a surprise later on. So hopefully, by the time couples get to the point where they're considering whether they want to take next steps into getting engaged and getting married, they have an idea of what sex means to the other person. They know what some of their partner's turn-ons and turn-offs are. They know how each other feels about monogamy and non-monogamy, at least in this moment, because again, it can change. And hopefully, they're creating a space of safety and openness where they can come to each other if something does change or if something comes up that they want to be able to explore with a partner.
Do you think timing matters? As in, I think we did an episode on this maybe last year around, you know, how do you know that person's, you know, your long-term, the one or whatever, around some people are like, when you know, and they might, you know, get married after a year. But then some people are like, no, you never really know someone unless you spend like 10 years with them. And, you know, I've got friends that have been together for like 11 plus years that aren't, you know, getting married, but they are like taking their time. And then I've got friends who have gotten married really quickly. So what's your advice? Where do you sit with that?
You know, I actually don't think there are any rules around this. I have sat with thousands of couples, you know, some that have been together a couple of years, some that have been together decades. And I have heard stories of people getting engaged and getting married after a number of months. And they were like, we absolutely knew. You know, I know really, really strong couples who got together, had children, bought the house, weren't sure if they wanted that commitment or label of marriage, explored non-monogamy, then decided monogamy was for them, and then decided they wanted to get married. And they have such an incredible relationship and such an incredible journey together. I don't think that there is a rule around this. I don't think we can always, we can always know 100%. I know so many people who are like, I really thought they were the right one. And then after years or 10 years or 15 years, the relationship is over. Relationships are always hard work and they are always a risk. But obviously there is so much reward that can come out of them as well.
For someone listening right now who has maybe clicked on this episode and they're really grappling with this, like, how do I know if I'm ready? And maybe they're feeling that, you know, potential pressure from society or their friend group or their family or maybe even their partner. What is your advice to kind of work through and figure out, like, when you're doing it for you?
Look, it's a good question. Some of those questions that we already talked about, like what does this mean for me and what's my why? Also, speaking about it with someone who is not your friends and family, like a therapist, can always make a difference. I know our friends always want to do the right thing by us and they always want the best for us, but they often have their own perspectives based on what they know of us and sometimes what they know of our partner. So sometimes talking it out loud with someone who's new to the situation can help as well. And also, if you're just not sure about the relationship, sometimes actually going to a couples therapist can support you to get really clear on, is this relationship strong enough right now? Or are there things we might need to work on for me to be ready to commit at this point too?
I feel like couples therapy, just even in general around making some of these decisions and having some of these conversations, would just be so helpful because, like, obviously we've got, you know, a 30-minute podcast to like throw around some of these ideas around the importance of certain convos, but I think like a lot of us don't know how to communicate and it's something we've never really been taught. And so, you know, you might sit down and be like, right, let's talk about these things, but, you know, you might freeze or you might shut down or you might get a bit heated and a bit awkward. And so I can imagine just like having a chat to a professional to be able to like talk through the stuff that you might find hard, because this, they're big convos, right?
They're so tricky. And you're so right, Dee, because we were not taught these skills. I mean, none of us were taught really the skills for like thriving intimate relationships. We're often guessing, making it up as we go, or doing either what we saw working for our parents or trying to do the opposite of what didn't work for our parents. But there are so many relationship skills and communication skills that can make a difference. And one of the biggest challenges around communication for couples is that there are often different styles of communication. So openers who want to talk everything through and want to process things really quickly and want to share a whole lot of what's going on, and closers who do tend to shut down in conflict, feel like they don't have the words to say, need time to process, and don't want to inflame conflict by saying the wrong thing. And often when these two combinations come together, couples can end up in a cycle. And it's not that either of them are doing something wrong, it's that their styles don't fit together. So by learning tools and, and getting really clear processes for how they can deal with these really difficult conversations, some of the questions that they might not have thought to ask, ways that they can listen to each other better, can make such an enormous difference going forward. In therapy, with at least with myself and the therapists who work with me, when we start working with couples, we always start by doing a really thorough assessment with couples. It's based in over 40 years of research, and there's about 30 factors that we look for that are either going to be a strength in a relationship or a challenge that we know will erode a relationship and ultimately predict separation or divorce. So what we want to do is tell couples, here's what the strengths are. This is amazing. Keep doing these things. They're often things that couples have taken for granted because they're things that they're doing naturally. And then we might say, okay, and here are the things that actually are going to damage your relationship over time, but here's what you can do instead. Here are the ways that you can communicate that are not criticism. Here are the ways that you can connect more around emotions. Here are the ways that you might need to have more fun and playfulness together, for example. We go through all of those things so that couples actually can learn these skills. And I think it's amazing for, for anyone, whether they're planning on getting married right now or not.
I was about to say, in the episode we did around marriage, a lot of people felt just as much as there was like 50% of people that said, yes, I want to get married. 50% of people said, no, it's not important to me. Maybe they're de facto. Maybe it's just one of those things that they don't feel like they need a certificate or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And their long-term relationship is just as important and valuable and meaningful. And so I think everything that we probably covered today is just as important to talk about, even if you're not getting engaged and married, right?
Absolutely, especially if you see a future for the relationship. I think life is too short to be in relationships that are unhappy or that are full of tension or that kind of drag us down. And often with just learning some skills, getting some new information, those relationships can become really enlivening and uplifting and actually then benefit our entire lives.
I love it. Azaya, this has been so helpful. Thank you so much. Is there, if people want to find out more information about you or about couples therapy, where can they find you?
So primarily Instagram, I'm asayamckimmy.sexologist. I'm fairly easy to find. Also with a quick Google search online, we have therapy, some online programs, and also some really amazing retreats in 2026 coming up. So reach out and we can let you know all about that.
Love it. We'll put some of those links in our show notes as well. Asayamckimmy, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Dee.